Healing crystals, skincare routines, knitting a sweater, fitting in jeans. With Katie and Sarah, no need to worry, you're on a lady journey.
I remember I watched an interview with Liz Phair and this girl, I think it was Anya, Nikki's friend who does music for Nikki and opens for her, was like, you know, it was just so inspiring when you came around because no one sounded like you. And I was like, well, because she was like the first female singer that wasn't dependent on her voice. Like, men always kind of get away with, like, Willie Nelson doesn't have the greatest voice.
Right.
And Liz Phair didn't have the greatest voice, but it wasn't. And she still did really well. And it was kind of like the first female to have that.
Yes.
You don't have to be an amazing voice if you've got like great song lyrics.
An entertainer. And, yes. You know, it's so true. Like Willie Nelson. He's like, hey.
My dad.
Even like Bob Dylan. You're like. I saw Bob Dylan in concert once when I was in college. My girlfriends and I went, and it was very fun. We went down to Bloomington, Indiana, and he was just playing the organ the entire time, kind of dancing. He didn't do one hit. Yeah. He did zero hits. We were like, why did we come here? He seemed like he was not well.
I think he, at a certain point, he's like, I'm done. I watched the We Are the World doc, and you realize everyone there had amazing voices, and then after a while, he kind of just like Homer Simpsoned into the background, where he's like, I don't know why I'm here, because he couldn't add vocally.
You think about it, like, they really criticize a lot of people today, especially with social media, like, that person isn't talented, they're just popular, and it's like, yeah, but there are people like that, and Bob Dylan... Not that I'm saying he's not talented, obviously. He can play guitar.
Yeah.
He can play guitar. I'm just saying his vocals, I mean, you could have taken a lesson. That's all I'm saying.
Right?
Incels are going to come. The incels will come for us on this, but...
Insulting Bob Dylan is the number one way to get a lot of men angry at you. It's just fun to throw out at a party as an opinion right out the gate.
I heard he's a rapist. Well, we've also insulted Taylor Swift on this podcast, so we're equal. But it's like, the reason people like him is because, I mean, yes, I like his songs.
He can write a good song.
He's got some great songs, but also it's like, there's the cult of personality that it says something about you that he's your guy and he's the person that you like versus
someone who has a haircut. Exactly. Yeah. Well, it's like, sometimes don't you find it vicious online when they do that, isolate the vocals of pop singers and you find out they don't, like Britney Spears is just like,
bless her heart. She's trying her best.
But you're like, we all know that.
Yeah.
That's not our issue. Like, we know that. Yeah. We still like her. She's had a great dancer.
She had great choreography.
I mean, I Can't Get No Satisfaction and the Slave, I'm a Slave for You on the MTV Awards was phenomenal.
Amazing.
I put up there with the Madonna Like a Virgin performance.
It's the same thing with, like, for example, Lana Del Rey when she had that horrendous
SNL.
The SNL performance.
I love her.
But, like, it doesn't invalidate her. I still like the way her music sounds. I like her whole persona.
Yes. Well, Mariah Carey was never she didn't really like doing the live performance.
Oh my God. Remember when she did New Year's Eve? No. And she was like, sorry, they didn't really do a sound check. So I'm walking through it. But actually, it's like, I mean, that was very entertaining.
Yes.
She's an entertainer.
And she's,
you know, she
amazing.
Keeps the drama going.
What I like about her is, like, I love the lore behind her.
I love it.
Like, if she's wearing heels, she needs someone to carry her to the stage.
I love everything about her.
We should do an episode of divas and diva behavior.
Oh, that's such a good one. Diva behavior.
Because, like, have you ever had diva behavior?
Oh my gosh. I don't think I ever have because of my people pleasing. It conflicts.
Yeah, it's a big problem.
But I would love to.
I think one time I abused power in the open mic scene of Houston. I felt I was starting to get booked on the showcase shows on the weekend. And I thought I could just pull to the front. And I realized that was obnoxious.
Excuse me. A star's coming through. I'll be going first.
I do 7 minutes instead of five.
I'm blowing the light. It's hilarious. I mean, diva behavior has a, it can be anywhere.
Yes.
It's very ubiquitous in that way.
You can abuse it at the lowest form.
Yes.
It
yes.
is fascinating when you see somebody get just a little bit of power. As soon as they get that clipboard, you're like, you've turned psycho.
Yes. Yeah. yeah. And you know that they were latent. It was a latent psychosis all along.
Or kind of like when you get the headset and you work at Old Navy, I would be abusing that.
Jerome, come in. Jerome, we have an emergency by sweatpants. Well, let me tell you something. I have been having an elderly morning because I had told you about this a little bit, but obviously I'm wearing my contacts today, so yes. I can't really see. But the way I put my contacts in, this is the only way that's been successful, which I saw on a YouTube video recommended by an eye doctor. He said, you wrap your...
Why?
I don't know why he was doing it like this, but... This was the position. You have to hold your eye to the bone to get it in.
Okay.
So your lid doesn't. And that's the only way I can get them in. So I did that this morning and I've had horrific neck pain. Anytime I like move my neck to the side, it's actually better now because I've been doing a.
Yeah.
And now I'm like the stretching person in the workplace. Like, excuse me.
Yeah.
But. It was so bad. I was riding the train here like this.
It's the worst, particularly when you're like, it's never in a strength. It's never like you're lifting a car
yeah.
to help a child.
Right, right. It's not like.
It's like, I picked up a bobby pin and threw out my back at the gym.
It's so maddening because I also haven't been working out that much lately. I haven't been to the gym in a week. The last time I went to the gym, it was like Pilates. I haven't done yoga lately. And I know that I have to do that because I'm in my late 30s. And if I don't, then things start happening.
Well, particularly from what I gather is that you probably pinched a nerve.
Yeah.
And they're so flimsy.
They're so flimsy, those little nerves.
And if anything just rusts up against it, you're in... pain. Well, like that's what I learned with sciatic is that you have to do all these stretches so you pull the muscle away from the nerve.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a doctor out there. You will know this better, but this is what I'm gathering from what I've dealt with.
That's what
I stretch now.
I'm going to do. Yeah, I've been doing like a little bit of stretching, like 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there. But it's like tonight when I go home, I'm going to, as much as I do not want to do it, I'm going to do a full yoga with Adrian, a full stretching, realigning, part of my realigning practice. But it's so annoying because I guess I've been living in denial of it a little bit because I hear, you know, you always hear people who are in their like even late 20s or early 30s who, you know, they maybe don't work out as much or they don't walk, you know, they're not super into fitness.
Yeah.
And they're always like, man, I pulled my arm sneezing. And you're like, well, that's because you don't take care of yourself. But then it's like, and it happened to me.
Yeah. I was so sorry.
I'm so sorry for shaming you.
Yeah. I didn't mean to call you fat.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. Because it's like, it is so maddening to be like, well, I just let go of my stretching for like, let's say it's been a couple weeks that I haven't been on my regular gym routine. And then now my body is fully disintegrating,
which
it's horrific.
Brings us to our topic is getting older and how to deal with that.
I love describing things. Can I say my new kind of favorite thing is to describe something like innocuous but slightly negative as horrific.
Yes. Oh, using horrific.
It was like the movie Saw. That's what it was like. It was like a man sawing into my stomach for a key. Okay.
Well, that's what, when I was explaining my sciatic back pain, I was like, it's like somebody took a dental floss, lit it on fire, and wrapped it around my hips really tight.
Oh, ouchie.
Like Saw.
Yeah.
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 And then he made me dig out my butthole for a key. But the problem with back pain, and I think I talked about this, nobody wants to hear your story.
Nobody wants to hear. I'm like, there I was putting my contact in a bizarre way. People are like, yeah, and you're like, but why were you doing it like that? I'm like, I don't know. I saw it on YouTube.
I know, and it's always so lame. Like when I had the back pain last year, they were like, did you do anything different? And I was like, well, my husband's out of town, so I switched pillows. And his was a little bit more firm and upright, so I think that's what pinched my nerve in the night, where my head was slightly, the 5 degrees did me in.
I remember when you had the pillow injury.
Oh my God, I wanted to unalive myself.
Yeah, it's
off myself. Can we say that instead of commit suicide? I think I like saying off.
Well, I think what we're getting at is that you wanted an end. An end no matter what cost.
Well, it's also so isolating. I had to lie on the floor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Every waking moment.
It makes you appreciate.
So I canceled everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes you, it gives you a new appreciation for people that live with chronic pain. Because I think like one of the tragedies of life with chronic pain is that people kind of like write it off. Like I have a friend who has chronic back pain and she's like, people will be like, have you gotten a massage?
Right.
She's like, my debilitating back pain.
Yes.
That I get injections into it.
Yeah.
Well, no, go to Chinatown. Go to my place. They're very hard.
Well, there's also, and I get this, and I think there's probably some truth. There's a well-known book about back pain. I think
living with back pain, is that
and
it?
And they yeah. say that it could be emotional trauma, which is yeah. such a funny thing to say to somebody with extreme pain in their back, to be like,
you have a lot of work to
were
do.
Were you molested as a kid? Maybe that's
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And I do have chronic back pain. However, I will say, I think that because when I do the stretching and when I work out, I have zero back pain.
Right.
So, but well, like when I fly, when I sit poorly.
The sitting is the worst part.
Like that's when it tightens up. And I know that I have scoliosis. So it's like I have to manage it
yeah, you
proactively.
Keep it moving.
But I do also think like, I store stress in my back. Like, have you ever
right.
been like walking around on a cold day and you like, you're like just like this, you know,
yes.
you get inside and you're like, okay.
Or when like, Matt Wayne would call a hornet in the car, like a personality
oh.
type where you can't make eye contact and you realize as soon as they leave that you're like, all of a sudden your body is relaxed again.
Oh my goodness. I have not heard of that, but I love that term.
It's one of my favorites.
That is such
terms
a lady journey.
That I ever use. And I give Matt Wayne credit whenever I can.
A monster in the house.
Yes.
Yeah.
But a hornet in the car is the best because you're just like, don't look. Just try not to make any eye contact. Stay still. Don't engage.
Yeah.
And maybe it will fly out the window soon.
Yes. Gray rocking. Meanwhile, as they're like, I'm being attacked at my job right now.
Right. Like, where they're like, what? What's your problem? And you're like, nothing.
Yeah. No problem.
But yeah, the yeah. back pain, that one's hard. But that I did the whole time when I was dealing, I did force myself to do yoga every day and it did feel better. And I think they say that you should try to work through it.
Yes.
And not
yeah.
like work out, not do a strenuous workout, but at least the stretching and yogas or Pilates kind of stuff.
Yeah. I'm going back to Pilates tomorrow. I 100% agree with that. It's like you do have to work through it because if you, especially... I even remember like when I used to teach preschool, I would do yoga. But then if I fell off it for a long time, there was a time where I picked up a little boy who was upset. He was like kind of screaming and trying to run out the door. It sounds like, that, you know, only because he was in a bad mood, but he was a big boy. And I've never pulled a muscle like that before. And one of my girlfriends that I work with, she was like, have you been doing yoga? I was like, I haven't done anything. Thinking
yeah.
like, oh, I should be good. She was like, I think that's why you pulled your back out. And I was like, oh, of course it
from
is.
From not doing yoga?
From being stiff.
Oh, yeah,
you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
From being like so stiff. But, you know, yoga, we didn't talk about this in the hygiene episode, but yoga is actually such a thing for personal hygiene.
Oh,
that's
I didn't
why
know
they
that.
Call it like the jungle doctor. I used to go to this, I did a work study at this yoga studio in Midtown Manhattan. It was called Yoga Sutra years ago. And I had a really great teacher. His name was Kevin, hilariously. He was like a businessman turned yogi. And I just loved him. But he would always talk about like when you do these yoga practices, these postures, these movements that you don't do in your everyday life. It's called the jungle doctor because you're squeezing organs and you're releasing old blood and
oh.
you're causing, it's the same as like doing like a lymph tissue massage where you're
gotcha.
Like releasing or like releasing the synovial fluid that lubricates your
system.
Joint. Yeah. Just
yes.
like releasing. So it's, you know, and again, like my hygiene has been, I haven't been washing my face. I'm not doing yoga.
Yeah. Well, I also, from what I gather, yoga and the Pilates can realign you, like help with posture, which is a good hygiene thing to have.
If you get out of alignment, I've had, you know, my chronic hip pain, which I think now is my piriformis muscle getting pinched. But like living not in alignment with your muscular skeletal system or whatever the word is. I'm not a chiropractor. I'm a doctor now. it can be so painful.
I've never liked my walk.
Yeah.
And I've always hoping that when I do Pilates now that it will help. And I've noticed that my hip flexors are so tight.
Oh my God. Ping.
No, but I'm like, I don't understand how these girls can hold their legs up like that as long as they can.
I'm actually really good at Pilates. I have a very strong core. I can put my legs up in the air and like do a full roll up. And I demand that we point the camera to the ground, and I will show everyone now. It's only because I've been going to Pilates like regularly for like about a year now. And in the Pilates class, I love it's easy. And we just do like, I love it because it there's never a point where you're like, I think I'm going to throw up.
Right. It's relaxed. But at the same time, I've never been where I'm like, I can't lift my leg.
Yeah.
Like,
it's so great.
One side to the next side, you know, like bringing the leg. I do eight and you're like, I had no idea that this was this hard.
Yeah. Burnout.
It's the hardest workout I've done.
Yeah.
I can lie down, which I love a workout where I can lie down.
Oh my God. Give me some peace and quiet.
Yes.
I've been through enough. That's my new catchphrase. I've been through enough. The other thing about aging, which I love growing into myself, and I feel like especially all the work that I've done on myself with my emotions, being mindful, like being more mature and creating relationships with people.
I think you're more chill.
Absolutely.
As you get older, hopefully some people get angrier. But I think that's years of resentment that they haven't worked out.
You have to. Yeah, I think like maturing is such. It is nice to be like, oh, I'm coming into myself.
Yes. And you always, when you get older, I feel like you start realizing, whatever. If I get yelled at because I did something wrong, 5 minutes of misery, I can move on.
Yeah, I'm not in trouble.
Yeah.
And I'm not in trouble.
How am I in trouble as an adult?
Yeah, like I'm good. What are you going to put me in jail?
Yeah.
I'm gonna be locked up abroad right now because I didn't fold the shirts right, Old Navy.
Right.
With my, Jerome, can I speak with you?
And then also like, because as you've gotten older, you've seen patterns in life that you know that things aren't permanent. So
yes.
Like in my early years, I felt like a feeling if it didn't go away after a week, then I was always going to live with that.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And now knowing that those feelings will disappear, I know when I get them again that I can just be like, this will go away eventually.
Yes. Managing feelings has been huge for me. One thing I notice, like I could never have done this in my 20s, but like sit down and read like a really intense like business or self-help book. I never could have done that in my 20s.
I never gave a shit about history.
Yeah. Like,
and that's all I want to consume.
Like that Guns, Germs, and Steel, you know, like that. I haven't read it, but I am interested in it. I've read like a few chapters. I could easily sit down or like reading. One thing that I didn't do until I was in my 30s was like give myself financial literacy. There's no way I could have done that in my 20s.
Boring.
I just didn't have the attention span.
Yeah.
So it's interesting in a way where I'm like, I don't know. You know, it just didn't seem like because my life was so exciting. Like I'm not going to. Now my life is boring. I'm like doing CBD. I'm like, why wouldn't I learn stocks?
Which boring is nice.
Oh, my gosh.
There was a post on TikTok recently. It was somebody that we knew. And it was like, what's your take? And it was on the subway. And the girl just ripped into the basic girlfriend, the one that thinks she's different for liking pomegranate.
Oh, I saw that. Yes.
I did, too. And I remember seeing it and being like, this is actually like a harsh takedown of a person. Yeah. And then that kept getting stitched. And they were like, well, there's nothing wrong with being basic. And I feel like as you get older, you're like, I love Olive Garden.
I love it.
I like the simplicity of life. And then somebody tagged this creator called the POV is your boring coworker, and it's just your coworker talking about like going to Kohl's this weekend. They couldn't figure out which cardigan to get, and she's just like really sweet and lovely. And you're like, that's me now.
I know.
That's Lady Journey.
That's so Lady Journey. I have an empathy for that type of person because the person, you know, I get it. I get it. It's fun. It's a fun take, but right. It's like, what's the alternative? Like, I'm exhausting myself trying to create this like lifestyle false life where I love going to a rave in a freaking warehouse and drinking absinthe.
Yeah, like, going against what you actually like. Where you're like, I think the girl with pomegranate. Who likes pomegranate juice has made peace with herself and is like, well, I like it.
Sounds stable.
Yeah.
Sounds stable. Give me that palm. Okay.
But that felt like that's like an older, I feel like as you're aging too, that's like a mindset that you have. You're like, I'm sorry, this is me. Like I get enjoyment going to Kohl's and talking about my pottery.
I like the Container Store.
Yeah.
I want to go there.
I go to Home Goods to decompress.
Oh my God. I was on World Market online.
I love World Market.
Oh my God. Goodbye. Goodbye Saturday. Yeah. Yeah. Sue us. We're boring. We love soup.
Yeah. But that's what I find as like when you get older, like being boring is great.
Yes.
I don't need to be the chaos of the 20s.
Yeah.
Or also giving a shit what a guy likes. Like, I hope he's looking at my stories. I feel like when I turned 30, I remember just being like this, I will never pretend to like football ever again.
Yes.
I am not wasting another Sunday while watching NFL.
So true.
I find it so depressing. I'd rather go to a live game and have the experience of
having a
live
hot
football.
Dog. You want the hot dogs.
I want the hot dogs. Give me the hot dogs. But the idea of spending 8 hours inside a house watching endless football is numbing. It's boring as shit to me. I'm like, can we have another room where I can watch at least Real Housewives?
Please, a women's room.
Yeah.
Let the women go. A women's quarters.
Yes.
Well, yeah, I do think my 20s was very chaotic with like drinking, doing drugs, like, you know, doing open mics, being out late every night, like trying to hold down a job while doing all of that. So it is nice in a way to be like, I have 100% got it out of my system. Like, I have no desire to like do Molly in the Rain. Okay, like I'm good.
Exactly. Or like I remember thinking I would have to just sit there while my boyfriend played video games for hours.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I want that time back.
Putting up with heinous man behavior in your 20s but is something like...
It's not even... I don't even put blame on him.
No, no.
It was not asked of me.
No, absolutely not.
I just thought I had to be there for support.
I know. I had such low self-esteem in my 20s. I remember... I know I've told this story on here before, but I'll never forget I was dating this guy when I was like 23 and his bathroom door didn't close in his apartment. And you would have to like hover and hold the door shut because it would pop open. And so I would just do that. I'd be like sleeping with him doing that. And then he was just, he had no job. And
I know I would be so kind. I'm like, the guy didn't have a cell phone and he would have to call me from the convenience store from his apartment complex and he would have to cross a busy road. That I would be like, hey, look, we're all having downtime in our 20s. And you're like, no, you idiot.
Yeah. Like, let him go. Be alone.
Yeah. And I didn't get that mindset. I don't know why, but I didn't figure out to like myself until my 30s.
Yes, there's something about the self-esteem slowly developing. Yeah,
yes.
And to be like, and then also I guess like the general lack of energy where you're like, I can't hover pee on, I don't have the leg strength at this point.
Right.
Like, I haven't been to Pilates. but one thing that kills me is that like, and this is everybody in my family. Like, we have a very fast metabolism in our family. So it's like, everyone's like rail thin in my family until they hit 30. And then it's like, okay, there's a problem. There's a problem.
Well, you get used to your high metabolism lifestyle.
Yeah. Yeah. And like running around, like when I was teaching preschool every day, I taught in Brooklyn Heights and there's this incredible deli, which you have to go to if you ever go. It's called Lassen and Hennings. It's wildly expensive. It's so overpriced. Who cares? I would eat there every day.
I don't mind overpaying if it's really good.
So good. The food is so good. Every day after I would get a hunk of bread pudding, the most amazing. And they always had, it was always different, but it was like just that congealed bread and milk and nuts and raisins and
Comforting.
I mean, it was probably like 1,000 calories. And I would just like eat it on my way home as my treat.
No biggie.
And like right when I turn 30, I'm like, why's my neck?
What's that?
I have turkey neck immediately.
Well, you'll start, especially when you're getting your photo taken all the time when you're on stage and you're just like, I didn't realize I had a double chin.
Well, yeah. Getting the profile for me, that's when I'm like, oh Lord. Oh dear Lord.
Matt, something's amiss. He just taped me like that the other day and I was like, if you fucking tape me from my side, I will call the cops on you.
I will accuse you of murder. I swear. He took a heinous photo of me when I'm dumping on this poor guy. He's a lovely guy. I love his work.
And a great photographer.
His work.
But the video where I'm just like looking at my notes with my chin like this and he's doing side profile, I'm like this. I didn't notice until I saw the footage and I'm like this, Matt.
Oh, he took one of me and I don't blame him for this because it's like I just should never be photographed doing my comedy act because I just do a lot of act outs where I'm like, hey! And then it's like, that's not a freeze frame. That's not a freeze frame. Well, it's not meant to be captured.
Beyonce had, I think she got rid of taking photos of her at her concert because I think for a while there were a lot of photos of her and her dance moves where it'd be like this. But yeah. I liked it because I was like, oh, thank God. Because have you ever edited yourself and then you press pause and you're like, wow, I had no idea that one eye goes down before the other one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Every time I know you're like, oh, I talk out of one side of my mouth. I'm Kate Middleton right now.
I didn't know I walk pigeon-toed.
Every time I get headshots, I'm literally have a weak eye that I'm squinting out one of my eyes. And I do have a weak eye because of the weed killer spray, but it goes, you know, your body starts changing, you know, like 30s, your body starts changing, like your skin is sagging, like, you know, you're getting like, and it's normal. It's normal. But then now you're out of
dying.
You're out of eating everything you want in your 20s and like running it off because you're running around like chasing a boy.
Yeah.
I'll pay for the dinner this time. And then like you get into your 30s and it's like, okay, now my face is looking different. I have deep set lines. I have gray hair. And then now you're in this whole other world of like, okay, am I going to fight it? Am I just going to be like Beth Stelling in her new special? Like I'm proudly aging.
LA needs a control group, which I thought was really funny.
So funny. I love that special.
I like that she said that. I do. I know.
I'm going to send her this clip as a way of asking her.
I am such a fan and I was so appreciative of somebody being like, I'm going to try. I think she said try not to.
Yeah.
Do. I guess.
And she's living in LA and it's harder out there.
Harder. Yeah. But the other, it's so funny too, is like, again, as you get older, like I've hit an age where I feel like I know that I'm not even competing with younger women. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
I'm out, I'm retired.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
So I was trying to make this into a bit, but instead what I do is I just compliment younger women on their skin as if I'm like Hannibal Lecter and I'm going to wear it. I'm like, there's no pores.
I love your skin.
I know, it's always, you're always complimenting young woman's skin.
Can you sleep with my husband? There was an article that was in The Cut recently. Did you see this?
People were getting livid about it.
I read the full article. I read the full article and I have to say it struck me as, while it did have some good points.
Is this the age gap one?
Yeah, it was like the case for marrying an older man, which I am in an age gap relationship. And as such, I did have to agree with some things in her premise, which was that she's in her 20s and she sees a lot of her friends getting in relationships with other guys in their 20s, and which we've all experienced this. And it's like we're talking about now, like ending up teaching the guy how to do his laundry, ending up sucking her own energy to kind of keep the relationship afloat.
Your mom.
Emotionally.
Yeah.
And then those guys will end up not marrying you, but then they'll go and marry somebody else. And I do think that she has a point. However, like, you could also just be single.
Yes,
yeah,
there is that, but you do. I remember being at 30, I dated a guy that was in his 20, 21.
Oh my God, I love this.
And I just finished date ended a relationship of 6 years with a guy that was approaching 40.
Yeah.
And I remember, or 35. And I remember being like, this guy, this 21-year-old has got his shit together more.
Agree.
Than the guy that I was dating. It is case by case, but if we were going to do a generalization.
Generalization, yeah.
I would agree with the article.
Yes. But one of the points that she makes in the article, which I think was what really set a lot of people off, and it was a little triggering, was like, well, as a young woman, I realized that like my best asset and the best asset I'll ever have is my youth. So I might as well lock down a man while I can. And I don't know why other women aren't taking this easy way out. And it's like, well, I mean, if your dream is to play tennis every day on your husband's schedule in the south of France, like, I guess that is a good idea and no shame. And it's kind of similar to getting a sugar daddy, which is now seen as like being more empowered.
Right. And then also I feel like there are still a lot of guys that date age appropriate women. Do you know what I mean?
There
that
aren't
it's not patriarchal like that.
There are absolutely men who are in their 30s who are dating other women in their 30s. So it's like you don't need to be 20. Like this is the only time I can lock down a man in his 30s.
Right.
So I think that there she was, and she's only 27 now at the writing of this article. So there are things that were like a little short-sighted, a little misguided, but she did have some interesting points, and it was well written enough that you're like, oh, this is interesting.
It created
to read
buzz, so that's always a good job.
You got some buzz.
Got some buzz, but there is one issue with the old, because I have a friend whose mom was 19 when she married his dad at 36.
Oh, hot.
Yeah, and that's
legal drinking age. Look out.
This was the 60s.
Yeah.
And later on, when the health declines of the one, he broke his hip, she was still in her prime, like in her 50s, and having to take care of a guy with like a broken hip. I mean, she did adore and love, so at the end of the day, those are the choices that you make.
Yes.
But I do think when you're dealing with later on in your life, in your 50, and your partner's approach, like, is on deathbed, you're still in the age group where you can still do a lot of things and you're not going to be able to.
Yes. And that's
you just
that's
hope your
thing.
Partner stays on top of their health as well.
And people can get sick at any age too.
Right.
And I think like the main thing to be like, you know, the main takeaway from the article that set a lot of people off is like, but being young is not the only thing that women have to offer. It's not even the best thing. Like, you know,
particularly like, I'm saying this for a lot of when you hang out with a lot of younger men and women, sometimes you're like, the conversation is boring.
Lacking.
And then it's also embarrassing when you're like the other day I watched a comic make a reference to the movie Risky Business. Mm-hmm. That movie's over 40 years old now.
It's crazy.
And I was like in the room and I was like, I actually think everybody in this room is too young to know what that reference is.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. And it's a popular movie, but I don't think it's popular enough to transcend generations.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those things where you start making... That's why after a while, I've kind of let go of the dream of SNL. Mm-hmm. Because I just picture myself pitching sketches and it's like, okay, a town like Footloose.
Yeah.
And they're like,
yeah, like, no, our reference point is Knocked Up. Yeah. And that's as far back as we can go.
Like, you don't want to be the old person in the room. And it just inadvertently happens.
Yeah. And it is hard, I think, for women, too, where we're put in this. We have a challenge that we're facing, whether it's like, okay, are you fighting aging? Which is what I am doing on certain levels, even though I'm like, I've become a little anti-Botox. Not because I have any issue with it, but it's because I think it's really expensive. I think it's really painful. And I think it's really time consuming.
And also, I feel like it takes up a lot of mental real estate to be like this. Is that oh my God, another line is showing up. It's like, it's hard. I think it's hard to keep up with stuff. And then I think I told you yesterday, what I'm planning on doing is just, I'm going to start saving up money for my light facelift when I turn 50.
Yes, getting my facelift. But yeah, it's hard. Like, I even saw someone on TikTok. I found this to be really interesting. She was like, I'm aging naturally. I don't want to get a facelift because of, she was talking about like the energy lines in your face, the meridians. She was like, I don't want to mess with that. And I would rather just like, this is my face. This is who I am. And I don't want to mess with anything.
Yeah, you don't want to go uncanny valley.
Like,
it's so nerve wracking.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Man, I've seen some facelifts lately that I'm like, that's Demi Moore, Brad Pitt.
You see the ones on TikTok now, the before and after. You're like, dang.
There's like one small one that they do that's not super drastic. I think it's mainly like neck and whatever, maybe bleph or something.
Oh yeah, the
and then you're
the
like,
eyelid.
Well, it's not that bad.
It's not that bad,
but whatever. I know it's like it's just hard because you're gonna be fucking with your face, and if anything goes wrong. Annette, you can't fix it.
Annette Bening just had a show on
she
Peacock.
She looks amazing.
She has had zero work done, and like she's making a point of like, it's not that I'm like standing
I
proud of like, I'm anti-plastic surgery. I just don't want to do it. It's just not me. I just don't feel like it. And she was in the show Apples. Did you see it?
I started it. But I can't pay attention to it.
It was not.
Kind of weird.
You know, it was enough to suck me in to like, so I could escape from life.
Yeah.
So I'll give it that. But like, I was looking at her face and she does look like she's aged. But like, at the same time, it's like she's playing a mom. She's not in there like, uh-oh, like cousin.
Yeah.
Cousin Sally's here. It's like, she just looks like a mom and she's playing a mom. So.
But like, Nicole Kidman's played a mom to an eight-year-old for 40 years now.
Yeah, Nicole Kidman's face to me, I'm like, I don't like the way it looks. You see her on the big screen being like, stories. What an amazing place to tell stories. And it's like, I feel like, just stop.
Yeah, I always question what it looks like in real life. But I do appreciate the Annette Bening's and the Jamie Lee Curtis's that also. And I'm like, they do look amazing.
She looks great.
I like my, who's my other? Oh, Charlotte Rampling is another one. And I was telling Katie, I do a Pinterest board whenever I see a cool, stylish older lady that doesn't look like she's been partaking into too much plastic surgery.
I love this. Then I love
it. Yes, it makes me feel better about aging because then I'm like, okay, I can do that. That's what I'm going to try to do.
I love, sorry, I was like cutting you off saying this. I'm like, stop. Yeah. I do love the idea of, you know, I think as women, like aging can be very terrifying to be like, oh my God, like once I hit 40, my life is over and I'll be invisible. Yeah. But I love the idea of positive conceptualizing of like, we're talking about like Iris Apfel, like her eyewear, her iconic style.
Statement necklaces.
Like you can be older.
Bright colors.
Your life isn't ending at 40. Like,
no, enjoying fashion at that age sounds so much fun because you've collected so much over there. I'm going to stop throwing out stuff that I feel like I bought that I liked initially.
Yes, hoard.
I'll throw out
just
five
hoard.
Running sweaters, but I'll keep my good stuff.
Keep those pieces. And I like the idea too of thinking like there is something that they always say, like when you get older, when you get into that decade of like the 60s where you realize like you've already like tried and tried at your career, you've already like tried and tried at your family, like you've done a ton of stuff in your life, and then now you get to this point where it's like, oh my gosh, I can really spend my time like appreciating the simple things. I can travel, I can, you know, I can work a job that I enjoy that's low stress, you know.
Yeah, or I feel like the drive kind of, you realize like, what am I, like I was thinking about this the other day, like what is my, the whole purpose is so I can live in a nice place, and you're like, well, I already do.
You get so caught up. I was talking with Ariel Elias last night when I saw her at the, when I was at the Comedy Cellar holiday party. Thank you. I'll be performing there next Thursday at 12:35 a.m. But we were talking about the Sky Lounge, you know, and like, is it even worth it to flush a $450 so I can get to the next level?
Yes.
Or am I just taken in by this marketing of like, I'm so caught in the rat race that she was like, they gamify it. They intentionally gamify it. So you're like, I'm gold status. I, you know, I'm getting the upgrade. And it's,
and then
like,
they take it away. They keep changing the conditions where they're like, okay, now you have to be at platinum in order to, or now you have to fly like
rules.
Five times a week in order
they
to
get
it. They
rip it away from you. But they just, they keep you in this, they keep you in this thing of like, okay, once I get the next thing. And it's like, meanwhile, you're not even appreciating. It's like, I'm in a tube in the air right now.
Yes. Well, remember like you traveling in the 60s and 70s, it was so luxurious.
Oh my goodness.
And then now you're just in a Greyhound bus in the sky. I mean, shit is happening in the air that should be happening on the bus.
Oh my gosh.
It's chaos.
It is. It's not. And I flew Spirit recently. I think I was telling you this and I was like, this is,
I can't fly Spirit anymore. Guys, I always think I'm like $89, and then at the end when I I'm ready to pay it. So I'm like, oh, it's actually like $300.
Yeah, yeah. Because, oh, you need luggage?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I guess I'll just fly with my clothes on my body.
Yes.
Well, we were talking a little bit about, there's kind of like a different standard of aging now too. It feels like, we're talking about like, for example, Golden Girls versus Jennifer Aniston.
Well, that always blows my mind. It's like, yeah, Jennifer Aniston's the same as around the age of some of the Golden Girls, like Dorothy. I think they were in their 50s and Blanche were around there.
Yeah.
And then like Dorothy's mom was probably in her late 60s or 70s at that point. But then you're like, to see what that age now, they don't look like Golden Girls. Women in their 50s do not look like Golden
you
Girls.
You could be 50 years old and look like you're 30. You know, especially even without work. You know, it depends on like,
I think it's diet and
diet,
drink,
exercise,
not drinking.
Not drinking, like not smoking, doing these things that like age you, you know? Or even like you could also be like a bigger person and just like not be drinking.
Right.
And still have like a youthful, you could have like a youthful glow about you. And I think like society in general, especially in like New York and LA, which is where we are, it's like I'm 37, like I have no kids. I've never been married. Like in the 1980s,
yeah,
you know, my parents got married. My mom was 20. You know,
yes.
It's like when if I was my mom's age, I'd have two kids, you know, by now. So it's like we're more open to people being on different timelines now. It's why you look at like Golden Girls. You're like, ew, old.
Well,
I love Golden Girls.
I love Golden.
That's what we're all thinking. That's what we're all thinking.
Exactly. Well, I mean, even when I was a kid, I was like, what are these my dresses? Like my sister and I would always be like, it's more like that's a Golden Girl dress.
Yeah.
And I just feel like people dress younger now. Like look at Erica Jane from Real Housewives. Like she's in her 50s and she's got like pigtails and wearing sweatshirts with knee high boots.
Yeah. And like jeans. Everybody wears jeans now.
Yeah.
You know, the culture's less formal.
But there's people in my life. I remember years ago, like, there'd be like this girl that was like in her 20s and I'd always be astounded. I was like, why are you dressing like Chico's? She would dress like a 40-year-old teacher.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's such an odd choice.
That's one thing I love about the 90s. You know, it was like in the 90s, once you hit like 20, you're like wearing like adult clothes.
Yeah, khakis and like
flowing
a cardigan.
Dress, a scarf. You know, it's like now you're just like elderly
athleisure.
In kind of like jeans.
Yeah.
Or like a tracksuit.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate that now. And I try to keep it in mind for myself whenever I fear aging as a woman. Because of course there are all these things that they try to sell you money. This is going to make you young. This is going to make you desirable. I always keep that in mind of like age really is just a number. It doesn't matter. You could be 80 and still hanging out and having fun. Like you could be 80 going to open mics with young people or getting on TikTok, sharing your bits. Like there is ageism, like obviously, but I don't think it's as strong now as it has been.
No, it's getting better. Like that's why, but I still always think that's why I don't quit stand up because I'm always worried as soon as I quit, they'll be like, we're really into middle-aged women right now.
Look at Leanne Morgan.
Yeah.
It's like popping off. I love her. I love her story as like she didn't start doing stand-up until she was already a mom and had kids. And it's like I'm living under this delusion like, oh my God, if I have kids, like everything's going to fall apart and I'll lose everything. It's like she started after she
had
kids.
And she didn't even live in New York or LA.
She's doing
just
great.
Doing her thing. Like you can find your niche.
And it's very tempting, I think, as you age, especially in like work or entertainment, to look back and be like, oh my God, my time's passed. But it's like, that's just a negative. I think that's just a negative thought pattern that makes it harder for you to actually move ahead in the future.
Yes. Well, I feel like you're stuck in a victim
You put yourself
mindset.
In a victim mindset. You put yourself
you can't
in the
move
past.
Past it. Yeah.
And it's like, why, you know, acceptance, accept whatever's happening and then move forward. Like plenty of people, there are people that start stand up in their 40s and go on to be wildly successful.
Yeah. I think from what I gather, Ricky Gervais is my inspiration because he didn't start stand up till later.
Really?
It wasn't until his like early late 30s or 40s.
Yeah.
But he would like he just did The Office. He was in a music group. in his earlier years, mm-hmm. but he wasn't into comedy until way later.
Yeah, I have to remind myself of those things because it's
Phyllis Diller was another one that was like that.
Absolutely. Yeah, she was much older when she started.
Here's another great thing. Okay, so Kim Gordon, the bassist from Sonic Youth, is having a complete renaissance right now and she's in her 70s.
Oh, I love this.
Yeah, and she also had a kid later on in life. And well, I read, there are several bios that I love reading artist bios. Like I read Patti Smith's We're Just Friends, Just mm-hmm. Friends. Mm-hmm. I think she moved to New York quite a little bit later. She wasn't in her early 20s. She was in her later 20s, maybe 30. Deborah Harry was quite, and Blondie was around her 30s. And then Kim Gordon was around her 30s when she joined Sonic Youth.
So great. Louise Hay, who I love, you know, she was really like influential self-help. And of course, like not all of her stuff is backed by science. Yeah. Fine. But like she, I think, was married, got divorced, and then got in the self-help world when she was in her 40s. And she, I remember reading something from her that was like, I'm 70 and I always wanted to take ballroom dancing and I just started. And yeah. like, I can't wait to be like, professional level ballroom dancer when I'm like in a couple years,
right? Somebody, I just saw a little quote online just being like, if you started your skill now, in a year, if you did worked on it a little bit every day, you would be way better than most people.
Yes, it's so true.
Well, I always think when I first moved to New York, I was 30, and I remember thinking I felt so old. Mm-hmm. And in the scheme, it's so funny what you think in that time period, and then I look back on it and I'm like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, my
although
God.
Any later
I know.
Yeah. Well, like some people come here in 40 thinking that they're gonna make waves in the scene. I'm like, it's a lot. I don't know, there's still ageism in the clubs. I think
it's also hard when you move to New York later,
unless
because,
you've got a big following.
Yeah, if you have any type of standard of living,
yeah,
the city will be heinous for you because you'll be like, I'm sorry, we're just living with roaches. It's like, yeah, we kind of all are. We don't have a washing machine. We carry our clothes on our backs.
Right. And you're like, it's not unusual to be in your 40s with a roommate.
Yes. Yes. And enjoy it.
Yeah. Friends.
Yeah. Well, everybody, what's your anti-aging practices? What are you looking forward to doing as you age?
Yeah. I just say, it's never too late to start.
The sky's the limit. We got a lot of good years.
The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago or now?
Yes. Enjoy. And please like and subscribe for the love of God, because we're going to take this podcast to the top if it freaking kills us.
Yeah.
Lady Journey.
Lady Journey.